Good morning, 740 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News, and every Thursday this time we connect with Pensacola Police Department. Today it's Mike Wood, the Public Information Officer. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. Good to be here.
So we have a missing person that I think is still active. Is that right?
Yeah, his name is Alexander Cook, and he's potentially endangered. He suffers from developmental disabilities as well as delusions, and he may be having suicidal thoughts. He was last seen in the Crestview area in North Okaloosa in the hospital where he was driving a Ford pickup that belonged to him. It was towed, so now we believe him to be on foot somewhere, possibly in that area. So he's a white male that's 5'10", about 200 pounds, with blonde hair and green eyes, and he was last seen wearing a dark gray hoodie with white writing on the back. So we encourage anybody, especially in the Okaloosa and Walton area, if they are to see him, to contact law enforcement.
And so on the note that you guys had put out the other day, it had indicated last seen at Baptist on the 30th. This is subsequent to that?
Yes. This was yesterday afternoon about noon is when he was spotted in Crestview.
And he has the mark that I thought was notable was he has tattoos on his left forearm, a black rooster, and a cow skull. You know, because otherwise he could look like, you know, basically, you know, any mid-20s something, you know, of his about, height or age or whatever. And I thought that was helpful as well. So this is a concerning case, obviously, when somebody might be risking self-harm. He's also got, what, religious delusions, too? Is that right?
Yeah, he's, he's currently referring to himself as Chris or Jesus Christ and things of that nature. So this is something that can be very concerning. And, you know, we want to get a hold of him for his own safety and get him the help that he needs.
Absolutely. And so, just be aware, keep your eyes open, especially if you're headed into the vicinity east of us to Okaloosa or Walton County, that kind of vicinity. There was you had one incident happen here locally. What was it, an armed robbery at a convenience store? Is that right?
Yeah, that was Saturday night at the convenience store on the southeast corner of Pace and Garden. An individual walked in there with a black and silver handgun, demanded money, and got a small amount of cash and left on foot. He was traveling eastbound on foot. And so we're still working on that one and hope that somebody can give us a call, give Crime Stoppers a call with any information on that armed robbery.
Wow, that's very concerning, obviously. So, okay. And then there was a story that happened elsewhere, but I know, you know, you obviously pay a lot of attention to the news, and certainly this is a big enough story that, you know, even people who pay only casual attention, certainly law enforcement officers saw this. You had three officers got killed serving a warrant in North Carolina, five others wounded in a shootout that when I started to read the details of how this happened, I mean, it would be bad enough to have three officers killed. But the way this all happened was very concerning for first responders, special weapons and tactics folks, and, you know, basically your officers anytime they're showing up to an active shooter or even a concern about somebody who's got a gun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It can be a dangerous situation, and it really doesn't matter what the warrant's for. A lot of times it can be a forgery case and can turn into something deadly. But these high-risk warrants, that when we know we're going in after someone who is armed, who has a history of violence and using firearms, then we're going to go in heavy-handed, and that's just what we do. And a lot of times law enforcement receives criticism for that. They receive criticism for being too militaristic and having military-type weapons, military-type they call them tanks, but they're actually Bearcats, or they're vehicles that officers need to keep themselves safe. And we have one of those on the way for the Pensacola Police Department. The Sheriff's Department's been very, very kind to us in the past, letting us use theirs when the need arises. So this is a perfect example of why law enforcement has to go in heavy-handed like that, because we have to be able to meet or exceed what is being used against us in order to stay safe.
And in this case, for people who might not know the details, you had a warrant, Marshall's Task Force serving a warrant for a felon wanted for possessing a firearm, and they go in and they wound up in a shootout with the guy, and he gets killed on the front lawn. So as they then approach him on the front lawn, somebody from inside the house opens fire on a second person, opens fire on them with a high-powered rifle, which they later found in the house. They're not quite sure who did it, but that's who wound up killing the three officers and injuring several others, because they were, I mean, you know, from an elevated window in the home and a high-powered rifle, they were sitting ducks on the lawn is what happened, right?
Yeah, you know, a scene is not clear, is not cold until the building, the home, whatever the situation is cleared by law enforcement. So, again, we get some criticism on that, too. Why did you wait so long? Why did you still, you know, you shot the man. He's laying in the yard dead, but yet you're still surrounding the house. You're acting like there's a lot of people in there. Yeah, one person can do a lot of damage, as you saw. We also have to be aware that people could come up from the back, from the outside. Someone could drive up on the scene that's against us, that could always open fire on us. So these are situations, these are thoughts, and that we put that we rely on, or we use in, during training scenarios for situations such as this.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a reminder of, you know, how you guys have been in favor of the law signed by Governor DeSantis for the 25-foot perimeter. There's a reason for that, but also just it kind of reminds me of the double bombing kind of thing that you had seen, where there would be, you know, one bomb would go off, but that would be to entice first responders in so that a second could really hurt people. It seems, I don't know if this was coordinated. I don't think we'll ever know, maybe for a long time anyway, whether this was coordinated this way, but a horrifying thing to imagine. You respond, you've taken out what you think is the primary assailant, and then something subsequent happens when even more people are at risk. It's every day, I'm just glad you guys do what you do. I am really appreciative of you doing what you do. Mike, we always like to end with a did you know or a cop myth or something like that. Do you have one for me this week?
I do, and it's the practice of motorists flashing their headlights at other motorists, warning of police officers that are sitting on the road running radar. And is that against the law or not? And the answer to that is no. In fact, that's gone all the way to the Supreme Court. And they determine that it's an expression of, it's an expression that's protected under free speech, under the First Amendment. So the answer to that is it is legal to do that. Now, years and years ago, it was not in some states. And when they decided that it was legal to do so, a lot of officers booed that decision. And but you know, that's something that.
What did they sound like?
Boo!
Yeah, well, that's probably pretty close. We would have to agree with Johnson on that one. But
were they more uncertain about it? I mean, were they like not sure they disagreed?
Boo! Boo!
It never gets old.
So anyway, you know, now we've got apps like Waze that let people know where law enforcement is. It's really not an issue for us. There are going to be people that are going to come by, you know, in any way exceeding the speed limit, which of course is a dangerous thing to do. So the best way to do it is just not speed, and you won't have to worry about where the officers are sitting.
You know what's making all three of us here in the studio laugh the best, though, is that's the closest I have ever come to watching or hearing you lose your composure. That's as close as I've ever seen it.
I'm fighting it. I can tell you that. I'm pinching my leg right now, so I'm
doing
my best here.
Sorry. I couldn't resist.
Okay.
All right. So, no, but this actually raises a question for me, because if the Supreme Court protects flashing your headlights as a form of speech, it's also true and worth remembering that honking your horn in anger is actually illegal, right?
That is true. So you can only honk your horn in the state of Florida if you're warning other motorists of a potential hazard. You can't just do it to wave at them or because you're upset with them. You have to warn them of a potential hazard. Now, the fact that they may have almost run into you or cut you off or something like that may be permitted, but laying on the horn, you know, how sometimes people will do that is a bit excessive. So every situation is going to get looked at and treated on its own merits.
So instead of honking your horn, just roll down the window and say,
"Oh."
Okay. I guess I need to go.
Mike Wood, he's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. You don't feel like I hosed you all today though, do you? That didn't happen?
No, not at all.
We're all good. All right.
I'm trying
good.
My best.
We'll just move on.
Voters just got hosed.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much for the update. I know you'll never come on the show again. Good to talk to you. Have a great week and a good life. 7:51 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, every once in a while, every single day, we go off the rails. I'm Andrew McKay.